Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, October 17, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, NAACP of Champaign County, third in a series, Blazing a Trail. Award winner aims to create culture of young learners, by Tracy Crane, Champaign. Tracy Dace often refers to the youth he works with as dreamers, but the program he launched 3 years ago goes way beyond that. They see us as doers, Dace said, describing how parents of the boys involved view DREAM, D-R-E-A-A-M, House, a proactive pre-kindergarten to college pipeline program he started to cultivate academic excellence and leadership in Black males. The long-term goal for the more than 100 boys whose ranks grow each year as new kindergartners enter the program is success in college and beyond. I've watched several boys who have started the program and have just really grown in really positive ways. I've seen their leadership skills increase and their ability to be a peer leader, expressing and exhibiting decision-making that's influenced other kids. And the goal is we want it to transfer to school and home, said Dace, who will be presented the Youth Advancement Award at Friday's Champaign County NAACP Freedom Forum Banquet. DREAM, which stands for Driven to Reach Excellence and Academic Achievement for Males, started as an idea Dace pitched to church members at First Presbyterian of Champaign, which pledged the initial $20,000 to launch it, with 10 5-year-old boys in a summer setting focused on kindergarten preparation. A year later, 15 more 5-year-olds were added. Then the program expanded into the school year, with mentors for each boy, an after-school component and year-round Saturday sports activities. Now, Dace and staff are leading the Dream House full-time, operating multiple programs at 4 sites, with a core of volunteers, more than 100 boys in grades K through 6, participating, and multiple agencies providing funding. One of the keys, he said, has been creating a family, community atmosphere. Not only does the program have a high retention rate among the boys year to year, but volunteers have stayed too, which helps develop relationships that make a difference. Charles Young, who spent 31 years in student affairs at the U of I, has volunteered with Dream House for 3 summers, teaching various classes. Dace personally asked Young, who has a doctorate in policy studies, to be involved. He's stimulated a lot of professional people to mentor, teach, volunteer, and work for Dream, Young said, adding that a lot of the boys don't have Black male role models in their lives, so he wanted to create a pipeline to college system. Young said common sense and a lot of research says the earlier you start kids in any kind of program, the greater the outcome will be. That's why Day starts with boys around kindergarten age. This community needs it. There are other programs around, but they don't start as early, Young said, adding that this program is Dace's ministry, a spiritual mission for him, and his way of giving back to the community. He deserves the award, he really does, Young said. Dace said the program is a comprehensive model that's dosage intensive, meaning being in the lives of the boys at least 3 to 4 times a week. It includes STEAM, S-T-E-A-M, science, technology, engineering, arts and math, an after-school program 5 days a week, a summer enrichment program that gives boys a jump start for the next school year, sports including soccer, basketball, baseball, and flag football, a life coaching component, and a family engagement component where parents can come together to learn how to promote healthy development of their boys. 5 days a week, we are doing the traditional things like homework help, but we also are beginning to dive deep into how do we create this culture of young learners who are being positive and being leaders who support each other through making healthy decisions, said Dace, reiterating that the ultimate goal is college and beyond. They need a really healthy foundation to navigate adulthood and college life. Honor Roll. The NAACP of Champaign County will present awards to 5 people or organizations at its annual Freedom Fund Banquet Friday in Champaign. The honorees whose stories we'll tell throughout this week: Freedom Fighter Award, Karen Sims, Champaign-Urbana Trauma and Resiliency Initiative. Interfaith Award, the Hope Center of Vineyard Church. Unity in the Community, Sayhill Contractor, Business Owner. Youth Advancement, Tracy Dace, DREAM, Driven to Reach Academic Achievement for Males Program. President's Award, Audrey Keaton Mock, Unit 4 Schools. Champaign County Nursing Home, Report, No Red Flags with Sale, But Consumer Group Objects, by Deborah Pressey, Urbana. The pending $11 million sale of the Champaign County Nursing Home is headed to a hearing before a state review board without any negative findings from the board staff. The transfer of the property and operation of the county-owned nursing home meets all the requirements under a state administrative code section dealing with long-term care facilities, according to a report released Tuesday by the staff of the Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board. The anticipated completion date of the sale of the county-owned nursing home is November 30, according to the staff report. That's pending approval by the board at its next public hearing, October 30, in Bolingbrook. The sale could potentially be finalized between October 31 and November 30, according to County Administrator Deb Busey. The State Board staff report noted the sole bidder for the nursing home, Altitude Acquisitions LLC, is a placeholder entity under the ownership interest of William A.V. Rothner, who has ownership interest in several nursing homes in Illinois and Indiana. The nursing home and its real estate would actually be transferred to the newly created companies, University Rehabilitation Center of Champaign-Urbana LLC and University Rehab Real Estate LLC, at the sale closing. The purchasers have predicted the 243-bed nursing home will have a mix of 80% Medicaid and 20% Medicare patients. The change of ownership will have little to no impact on long-term care facilities in the service area, the staff report said. Under terms of the proposed agreement, no new services will be introduced, no restrictive admissions policies will be introduced, and an open admission policy will remain at the facility, the report said. The State Board staff also found the proposed sale conforms with criteria for financial viability, reasonableness of debt financing, project costs, and the projected operating costs per patient day of about $216. The buyers intend to fund the sale with $2.75 million in cash and securities and cover the rest with a mortgage, the report said. The staff report going to the board isn't deterring an opponent to the sale, Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, from continuing to object. The group plans to submit written information to the board and to voice opposition at the hearing, according to its executive director, Claudia Lenhoff. A member of the evaluation committee appointed by the county board to review the purchase offer, Lenhoff said she objected to a reference in the board staff report that the committee recommended the sale in April 2018. The group's task was to see if the applicant met the criteria for the county's request for proposals, she said. We wanted to be on the record that this was not recommended for approval. That was not our charge, Lenhoff said. She is also critical of the shift in companies identified in the purchase process, saying there's no track record to evaluate the two new companies winding up as the buyers. Evanston-based Extended Care Clinical LLC and Altitude Health Services, Inc. were formerly identified as the nursing home buyers. It just feels like a bait and switch and a shell game, Lenhoff said. Her group plans to take a closer look at the track records of the nursing homes owned by Rothner and affiliated companies and report the information to the board, she said. The nursing home sale falls under the state board's review authority because it involves an ownership transfer of a county-owned facility. The board hearing is set to begin at 9 a.m. October 30 at the Bolingbrook Golf Club. The nursing home sale is one of many cases on the agenda. Urbana City Council. Block may be sold for $1 in development deal. By Ben Zichterman, Urbana. With the promise of about 42 new townhome units near its downtown, the city of Urbana plans to sell a vacant block for $1. The city reached a deal with Green Street Realty to convert the 200 block of South Vine Street into a townhome-style development that could be completed by May 2020. The $5 million project would include two- and three-story townhomes with garages for some units. The agreement still needs to be approved by the Urbana City Council, and Urbana is hosting an open house at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday at the City Building for the public to learn about the project. The city bought the property previously occupied by Urbana True Tires in 2011 for $400,000, completing its purchase of the block, and continued to lease it out until 2015. Altogether, the city spent about $950,000 to buy the properties on that block. Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said this is the first residential development downtown since Stratford Residences was built in 2005 at 202 North Ray Street. It literally is the first residential development in over 13 years. Which is remarkable, Marlin said. I think this is a turning point. It's taken us a very long time to get this to this point. Urbana Economic Development Manager Brandon Boyes said it will be worth it for the city to give the property to Green Street Realty for a buck. The city acquired it to redevelop it, he said. This property, which was paid for primarily with tax increment financing district funds, is under city ownership, which generates no revenues and isn't helping meet community goals. With the redevelopment, the property will bring residents downtown, which should help businesses, schools, parks, and mass transit, Boyes said. On top of that, the property will start generating property taxes in its second year, Boyes said. According to the agreement with Green Street Realty, 100% of its property taxes from the increased value of the property will be reimbursed the first year, 80% the next year, and no property taxes will be reimbursed the sixth year. The project also sits in Urbana's Enterprise Zone, which means it should be eligible for sales tax exemptions for new construction materials. Since the city bought the property, it has tried twice to find developers for it. In 2011, architect Gary Olson proposed an $84 million metro center that never came to fruition. And in 2016, Indianapolis-based TWG Development planned to build a four-story, $30 million complex with nearly 200 apartments and commercial space on the first floor. But TWG declined to move forward on that project, Boyes said. Earlier this year, Urbana issued another request for proposals to develop the land and received two proposals, Marlin said. We did get two viable respondents, and one of the proposals just wasn't financially feasible from the city's perspective, she said. The units in Green Street Realty's project are meant to attract anyone from families and empty nesters to professionals and grad students. It's the type of diversity and population mix we want to see, Marlin said. Once you get some density of population, then you get more customers for businesses downtown. Under the letter of intent with the city, Green Street Realty projects starting construction in February 2019. Green Street Realty owner Chris Saunders did not respond to a request for comment. Urbana School District, Dimmitt on Road to Recovery After Stroke, by Deborah Pressey, Urbana. Urbana School member, School Board President John Dimmitt suffered a stroke last week but is recovering, according to School District Superintendent Don Owen. We are happy to report that his condition is stable and he is doing well, said Owen, who gave a brief update at Tuesday night's school board meeting. His family appreciates your thoughts and prayers. The board had a quorum Tuesday, and there's no need to take any action connected with Dimmitt's absence during his recovery, Owen said. Owen said well wishes can be conveyed to the district office and will be passed on to Dimmitt, who has served on the school board since 1987. Sentencing. Probation for Robbery Roll, by Mary Schenck, Urbana. A Champaign man who admitted his role in a mugging has been sentenced to 2 years of probation. Christavi Mbeya, 19, who listed an address in the 1000 block of South First Street, pleaded guilty last week before Judge Tom DeFanis to robbery. He admitted that on July 23, he took part in robbing a 20-year-old Champaign man walking in the 900 block of South First Street. The man reported to Champaign police that he was pushed from behind by one man. After falling to the ground, a second man reached into his jacket and grabbed his cash. Mbeya had no prior convictions. He was ordered to pay restitution to the victim. From the local section, podcast series, Campus Conversation, Julie Wirth's biweekly chat with a U of I professor. To listen to the full episode, visit news-gazette.com. Esther Ngumbi grew up in a part of Kenya where girls were considered less important to be married off and raise children. Her parents, both school teachers, felt differently, often going hungry to provide an education for their four daughters and son. Esther Ngumbi was the first woman from her village to earn a doctorate from Auburn University. To give other girls that opportunity, the University of Illinois entomology researcher founded a new school in Kenya with her parents' help. She also launched an agricultural startup in 2014 to transfer innovations to Kenyan farmers and fight drought and hunger. She holds 3 patents for her research on microbes that help plants fend off pests, and she mentors students worldwide through 2 programs started by former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Among her other awards, Ngumbi was named by One World Action as one of the 100 powerful women who can change the world. In this week's Campus Conversation, Ngumbi talks with Julie Wirth about her path to the U of I and the time she lugged 60 pounds of books home to Kenya with the help of other passengers. Here is an excerpt. Tell us about the school in Kenya that you founded with your parents in 2012. What was your motivation? When I finally graduated with my PhD in 2011, I became the first girl to have a PhD in my community. You can call that an accomplishment, but I don't call it an accomplishment. In this age and in this time, I shouldn't be the only girl that has a PhD. I remember when my name was called and I had to walk up on the stage, and all of a sudden I started to flash back, and tears were just flowing on my cheeks. I thought about every student that could be me that day. I realized that every student, every child, had the potential. It's only the opportunity that they lack. And I remembered the many mentors that had held my hand to lead me to that moment. And I remembered saying, "This is not right, something is wrong, and I must be the change, and I must step up." And so I called my parents, and we decided on a school. That year we had 14 students. It was just a very simple class. And today we have a full school. We have 110 students, and we have 8 teachers, and we have a library. High School Confidential. On Wednesdays throughout the school year, area students fill us in on what's happening at their high schools. Allah. Environmental science students are renovating the school's courtyard, known for its weeds, an algae-filled pond, and dirty picnic tables. Led by environmental teacher Matt Thomas, students have pumped out old pond water, pressure washed the rocks, and planted new grass. With funds granted to the science department, Thomas plans to purchase a new motor for the pond's running waterfall. That article by Taylor Powell. Unity. School Show Choir and Vocal Rush presented their fall showcase Through the Decades. The show was based off a radio-style theme where the student announcers would share news from the decades and perform memorable advertisements. That article by Miranda Fairbanks. Monticello. To raise money for breast cancer research, 4 water jugs were placed in the cafeteria with pictures of the 4 football captains, Asher Brad, Braden Snyder, Devin Graham, and Riley Austin, on them. The 2 captains with the most money had to kiss goats, provided by the Wenke family. Snyder was second and kissed the baby goat. Brad was first and kissed the mother goat. At Friday's football game, senior pep club members presented Kirby Medical Center with a $500 check. That article by Nick Walters. Arcola. Jorge Ramirez, Gabby Becerra were crowned homecoming king and queen at Saturday's dance, the theme being Astro World. That article by Molly Mahona. Rantoul. The football team, cheerleaders, and marching band had senior night on Friday. There, the late Donnell Robertson, a football player who died over the summer, was remembered. Pictured from left, Azaria Isom, Jerry Harper, and Trinity Harper carried his jersey. That article by Ocean Beard. Centennial. Seniors from the football team and marching band walked the field with their parents before Friday's game. Pictured from left are Trevor Boland, Katie Bell, and J.J. Bagang, joined by their parents. That article by Thomas Green. Villa Grove. The Mardi Gras homecoming came to an end with Saturday's coronation and dance, as Chelsea Harrison and Zach Champagne were crowned king and queen. That article by Sophia Wiegang. St. Thomas More. Senior football players and cheerleaders were honored before Friday's football game. At halftime, seniors participating in fall sports and fine arts were also recognized. That article by Leah Zanietchi. Champaign Central. English journalism teacher Stephen Stanger marked World Mental Health Day with Your Story Matters posters, using the message to motivate students into writing about what's most important to them. That article by Julia Wilson. Chrisman. At the Chrisman Public Library, students have put together a haunted house that is open to the public Friday and Saturday and October 25 and 26. The tour includes rooms full of dolls, clowns, cannibals, and a spider cave. That article by Lindsay France. UniHigh. Uni's Habitat for Humanity Club hosted its annual dodgeball tournament, raising $650 for its affiliate group in Clarksdale, Mississippi. The senior boys' team won the tournament, and the thespian team won the costume contest. That article by Natalie Stein. Schlarman. At an all-school mass, students celebrated their faith Wednesday, with the North and South campuses coming together for Mass and Holy Days of Obligation. That article by Farah Anderson. Cisna Park. FACS, Single Survivor and Foods, classes put together a monthly teacher lunch. The latest meal, Southwest grilled chicken salad with breadsticks and a strawberry cheesecake dessert. Pictured are Morgan Cabe and Jenna Waldbezer. That article by Taya Kisak. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, October 17, 2018. Please stay tuned.